Well, let's worship him together. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Great are you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, if there's an apostolic in the house tonight, come on, let's praise him right now. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to your name. Hallelujah. You can turn in your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 1. So glad you're in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Participating in a vision. The Bible says without that vision, the people will what? That's right. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring that vision tonight to the church, folks. But I believe we each ought to have a vision. Amen. To be a part of the vision. And a vision for your family and your friends and your mission field. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned. That word unfeigned means genuine. Unto unfeigned or genuine love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart. Fervently. Fervent means very hot or glowing or exhibiting or marked by great intensity of feeling or zealous. So here the scripture is saying, seeing you have purified your souls, how do you do that? By obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or genuine love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Lord, right now, God, I pray. Thank you, God, for what we felt here in this service. God, speak to each one of us, Lord. Speak through your servant. And God, let your will be done in this house. Lord, tonight, God, in the year of 2020. God, I pray right now, your will in this year. Help us, Lord God, to take this vision, Lord, and believe and trust, and Lord, and do our part. In Jesus' name. You can be seated. Hallelujah. The vision for 2020. The first thing I want to see is godly, selfless Christians. Godly, selfless Christians. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then we want to see a 50-plus soul revival. You say, what about last year, Pastor? Well, we had 19 receive the Holy Ghost and 13 baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. That's great. But we're going to continue to shoot for 50-plus soul revival. Amen. Also want to see a congregation of Bible study teachers. Folks, we need to get involved in teaching Bible studies. Amen? We don't only bring them through the doors, we got to help them grow. Sister Shay has agreed to help out, so she's going to be coming to you and asking you to be a Bible study teacher. She's going to get your information. When people come in, she's going to connect you with people. Amen, sister? All right, amen. So please, get with her. Don't make her chase you down. Tell her, hey, I'll be glad to teach. Put my name on the list. Make her job easy. We like easy. We're in a congregation of greater involvement. Folks, this year, get involved like you've never been before. If you're not involved, get involved. Find some place to get fit in. This is our church. Amen? Our church. When you have a family, you want everybody to pull their weight. Come on. You let people get away with it in your house just sitting in the room playing tic-tac-toe or on their phones or whatever? No, you make get involved. At least you should. If you're a parent, do your kids a favor. Make them get involved. Teach them to work. And then I want to see God give us a building and the means to do what we need to do with the building. Amen? So godly, selfless Christians, 50-plus soul revival, a congregation of Bible study teachers, a congregation of greater involvement. God will give us a building and the means to do what we need to do with the building. Amen. Will you pray? Mark those things down. Write them down, whatever you need to do. Amen. And let's believe God for these things this year. A vision for COP 2020. Amen. Right now, I want to talk to you about being a selfless Christian. My message title is 2020 Vision, Selfless Love for Others. 2020 Vision, Selfless Love for Others. So the unfeigned here is genuine, and the word fervently is a very hot, glowing, or intensity of feeling, or zealous. So of the parting words that Jesus spoke to his disciples were two of his greatest commandments. He told them in John 15, you need to love one another. He also told them in Mark 16:15. Jesus said, preach the gospel to all creation. He's not just talking to pastors. He's talking to each and every one of us. God wants us to love one another, and he wants us to preach the gospel to all creation. And since then, folks, it has been, since he spoke these words, it has been our duty as a church to live out his instructions with commitment and have a joy of doing this until he returns. Folks, do we really realize how intertwined those two commandments are? You see, the gospel is not only, folks, it is not only an invitation to salvation. It is not only an invitation to be saved and have eternal life and a mansion in heaven. That's not what it's only about. It is an invitation to join the church with which is Christ's body here on earth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. When we understand that to be a Christian is not just to have membership in a certain church or a certain organization, but to be grafted into the church family. Amen. We begin a more deeply understanding of our faith. If we understand that, look, I'm part of something greater than just being a part of a church or organization. I'm grafted in. When I'm saved, I'm grafted into that family. You see people sometimes that have limbs on their body that don't work, and it's just kind of like dead weight. We don't want that in the body of Christ. We want a functioning body. Amen? Amen. When there's somebody hurt, the blood cells rush to that part of the body to help heal. When there's sicknesses, the blood cells and all the body works together to bring healing to the body, to make it move and walk and talk and all these kind of things. We need to understand tonight, and it'll help you folks in your walk with God, in your faith, that if you understand that I am a part of what God is doing in COP Cleveland, Ohio. See, the church family, it's bound together by the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It is a single spiritual unit that lives, that works, that hurts, that grows together just like the physical body. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. In Ephesians 5, verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And since we are so interconnected, folks, Christ commands to love one another, and he says it is essential. Division, strife, what they do is they injure the body. But when we seek to nurture and to build up, the church grows strong. The church grows healthy, and it becomes a powerful witness for the gospel and a welcoming home for new converts. When Christians work selflessly to love each other and to live for the Lord, individuals grow in Christ. When Christians work selflessly to love each other and to live for the Lord, individuals find their spiritual gifting. When we as Christians work selflessly to love each other and to live for the Lord, individuals become all that God intended them to be. When we're doing the right thing, folks, God can use us. So how does a unified church preach the gospel well? First, we must help each other understand the true gospel and maintain our own faith. Now, the Bible warns in Hebrews 13, verse 9, it says, "Be not carried about with divers and strangers and strange doctrines." Today, more than ever, folks, false doctrine is a danger. And Scripture encourages us to help each other avoid it. You see why the Lord is telling us we got to love one another and work together? We got to help each other to avoid these kind of dangers. In James 5, 19 to 20 says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Also, the enemy is always trying, hear me tonight, he's always trying to undermine our faith. But the inspiration, hear me tonight, the inspiration of other believers, other brothers and sisters, keep us strong. In 1 Corinthians 14:26, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation." Listen to this. "Let all things be done unto edify." You see why it's important for you to be in church? Amen. You come here to sing. You come here to have a doctrine and a tongue and revelation and all that thing. But it's all done to edify the body of Christ. Amen. Colossians 3:16, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Amen. And then second, folks, we motivate each other when we come together to share the gospel. Amen. Believers can remind one another of Jesus' command to proclaim forgiveness in His name to all the nation. Amen. In Luke 24:47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name among all nations, beginning where? In Jerusalem." We should also stimulate one another to love and to do good deeds, encouraging one another. Amen. That's what it's talking about. The Bible's talking about, this is why God understood we need the body of Christ. We need to be a part of the church. Amen. So that we can encourage one another and love one another, stimulate others. Hebrews 10:24, "And let us consider one another." Why? "To provoke unto love and to good works." What better way can we do this, folks, than like it says in Hebrews 10:25, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Why is he saying that? Because the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the harder it is going to be for us to live for God. The enemy is coming in. You hear politicians and everybody going against the things of the church. This nation was founded upon serving God. And when we have the joy of salvation, we want to share the good news with others. Amen. With the more Christians spend time in harmonious and supportive fellowship, the more joy will overflow. Amen. And you'll want to tell people, you need to know my God. You need to come to my church. Let me give you a Bible study. Let me be your friend. We'll be witnesses when we're living for God and have the joy of the Lord. And what a greater act of love is there than to tell someone destined for hell, to tell them about the hope of Jesus Christ? What more joy can you do, folks? Hallelujah. Paul wrote to the Philippians about his sacrifice while serving the Lord. He's telling them about the things that he's went through in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. He says, but I will rejoice even if I lose my life. Listen to what he's saying here. Pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. He's saying, look, when you're faithful to the things of God, when you're doing the things of God, it's a sacrifice, Paul's saying. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. He's saying here, look, it's a sacrifice to serve God. But we'll share in the joy of it. Amen? That's what he's saying. You see, the joy of his fellow believers, folks, would spur him on through the difficult times as he shared the gospel. And then, folks, we must find our own spiritual gifting. Why do we need to do that? So we can contribute to the proclamation of the gospel. Evangelism is the work of pastors and organizations as well as individuals. And folks, we each receive talents. God gave us all talents, and God expects you to use those talents. For what? For his kingdom. You have talents here. Are you using your talents for the kingdom of God? You see, it's within the church tonight that we discover what those gifts are and how to fit into God's plan for a powerful and for a well-equipped evangelizing force. In other words, what I'm saying here, folks, it is within the church. When you come and you're part of the things of God, amen, those talents will be open to you, and then you'll see things that God has given you, folks. God wants you to use those talents. What better place for God to show you what those talents are when you're in the house of God? Not in some bar down the street, but in the house of God. God's plan for powerful and well-equipped evangelizing force. He wants you to use those talents for that. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? Why did he give them to us? For the perfecting of the saints. That's why I'm saying it's within the church. Amen. The pastors and the teachers. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So as Paul told the Romans, in Romans 12, 6 through 8, we have different gifts, he said, according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If his talent is teaching, let him teach. If his talent is encouraging, let him encourage. If his talent is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If his talent is leadership, let him govern diligently. If his talent is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Paul's asking, are these one of your talents? Then use it. He didn't say hide it. He didn't say let somebody else do it. He said use it. Do it cheerfully. You see, not everyone has been called to pastor or evangelize. But listen, we're all important in the work of spreading the good news. As we operate, folks, with our gifts, we strengthen each other, others' service. You see, sometimes you need different ones together to make things work just right. Sometimes you just can't use one particular, you got to use a couple others. And so, if we come here and we operate within our gifts, we strengthen each other's service. And we can all pray for the lost, right? We can all contribute to individuals. We can all, in other words, we can all help and to different ministries who faithfully proclaim the gospel. We can all help in those areas. Philippians 4:18, but I have all and abound. I am full. Having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Just listen to me, folks. Also, while you may not be called to the pulpit, the Lord gives each of us opportunities to tell others about Him. Whether it's a family member, whether it is a coworker, whether it is a friend or a stranger that you meet on the street, He gives us that opportunity. So I ask you, what keeps us from speaking freely about your Savior? Why don't we? You see, oftentimes it is fear of not knowing what to say. It's creating a strained relationship and alienating people from the gospel. We should remember, folks, that we can pray for God to open doors to speak His word. Hear me tonight. Each of us, we can pray and say, God, I ask you right now to open doors to somebody I can minister to this year in 2020. Colossians 4 verse 3 says, with all praying for us all, for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. What for? To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And also, folks, to guide us to what to say. God, I don't want them to hear me. I want you to speak through me to them. Folks, what you have to say doesn't matter. But if you allow God to use you, if you allow God to speak through you, it'll make a difference. Come on. Luke 12, verse 12 says, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. I'm telling you, folks, God has given us everything we need to be witnesses. Why aren't we? When we are all the salt and light that Christ talks about, all can see our joy and our unbeatable strength and love. When you allow God to use you as that salt, when you allow God to use you as that light, folks, amen, people will see the joy in your life, amen. They'll see that unbeatable strength. They'll see that when things come your way, that God, your Savior, will lift you up in that time of need, amen. They'll see the love of God in you. If you'll just be the salt and light God asks you to be. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. We need to always be ready. So instead of being fearful about the results, folks, we should speak of our Savior and with what happened. And we should speak of it with conviction. We should trust God for the rest. Amen. God, you use me. You speak through me. And the support of other Christians will add greatly to our confidence when we witness. Amen. See, this is how we work together as we focus on the Lord's commands to make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them. You see, folks, it's more than just telling them about they need the Holy Ghost. But listen to what else it says. Teaching them to observe all things. How are they going to know unless we teach them? Well, that's the pastor's job. Who said this? It's your job too. It didn't say just to the pastors here. It says go and teach. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What God has told you to do. Amen. We got to teach it to others. If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for others. Amen. Teaching them whatsoever things I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. So when you're teaching somebody, when you're baptizing somebody, when you're telling them how to live for God, He says, I'm with you. Even unto the end of the world. Colossians 3:14. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Listen, a church held together by love has the perfect bond of unity. 1 Peter 1:22. Now you can have real love for everyone because your souls have been cleansed from selfishness and hatred when you trusted Christ to save you. So see to it that you really do love each other warmly with all your hearts. A self-centered person cannot really love. Amen? You ever deal with a self... Don't raise your hand. You ever deal with a self-centered person? All they think about is themselves? A self-centered person cannot really love. And the scripture here is telling us we got to love fervently. We got to be genuine. How can we, folks? How can we really love if we don't think about others? If all we think about is what we need, how can we really love? See, I'm asking us to be, this year, 2020, Church of Pentecost, selfless love. Selfless love for others. This is what I want for the church. You see, all those other things that I had on the list there, for 50 soul revival, a congregation of Bible study teachers, a congregation of greater involvement, God giving us ability. I believe all these other things will happen if we are godly, selfless Christians. Come on. I believe God will bless us tremendously if we are godly, selfless Christians. But we cannot love, folks, if we're self-centered. You see, sincere love involves selfless giving. If you love like you like to say you love, you give of yourself selflessly. A self-centered person can't truly love. See, God loves. You believe God loves? He forgives free. God loves and forgives free to you. So take your eyes off yourself this year and meet the needs of others. So by sacrificing His life, Christ showed that He truly loves us. Amen? And because He loves us, we can love others. How? By following His example of giving yourself sacrificially. Amen? In Mark 8:34-36, and when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, listen to what God said here, whosoever will come after Me, are we following Him? Are we going after Him? Here's what He said to do. Let him deny himself. Did you know you had a cross? And take up his cross and follow Me. That's a high price. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, folks, We live in the great United States of America. The second paragraph of the United States Declaration of Independence begins with these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Great words. Awesome. I thank God for the Constitution. Some people say it's outdated. I say they're crazy. But as citizens of the United States, I think we can all agree that we are blessed to live in a country that recognizes its citizens' right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We live in a great country that recognizes that. If we even casually observe our society today, if you even watch any of the news, if you even see what is happening in the world around you, you will see that people are indeed in hot pursuit of happiness. Amen? But if we look closely, we'll notice that for some reason, even though these people are in hot pursuit of happiness, for some reason, they tend to look for it in all the wrong places. For instance, many look for happiness in a career, in heaping up of great wealth, personal accomplishment in another person. They look for happiness in another person. But folks, listen, most finally realize that true happiness cannot be found in other places other than God. Still others seek for happiness in alcohol, drugs, and all forms of immorality, only to sink into worse misery. Now it appears that to me that despite all of the best efforts that we put forth for true happiness, continues to elude most people. Come on. For all of it, for all the efforts that people put forward, they're out there making great money and living high on the hog and all these kind of things, but some reason happiness eludes them. They're never happy. The use of antidepressants in the United States is up by a whopping 65% over the last 15 years. This was reported in 2017 by CBS News. And in fact, folks, we currently have the second highest rate of depression in the entire world. You heard me talking about it the other day. I heard on the news that it is even up higher since this report. Depression. Only France is more depressed than we are. If I lived there, I'd be depressed too. No, I'm just kidding. Now, folks, it doesn't seem to make sense, does it? But studies have shown that the wealthier countries tend to have much higher rates of depression. Look it up. It's out there. That's why I found it. Wealthier nations have a much higher rate of depression. Now, I know it sounds irrational, but could it be, folks, that our relentless pursuit of happiness is actually dragging us into depression? And could it be that those who are not so obsessed with chasing after their happiness are, ironically enough, folks, among the happiest people of the world? In Mark 8, 34-36, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it, he said. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. That's what that scripture is saying. That is, whosoever chooses not to live as a stranger and a pilgrim in this world, but to make his or her home here. We need to understand, we need to remember every day, folks, we are just passing through. This is not our home. Up there is our home. Amen? Hallelujah. I need to understand and I need to remember every day, I'm a stranger in this land. I'm just passing through. I'm laying up my treasures in heaven. Hallelujah, folks, we need to understand. Yeah, it's great. God bless us. He wants to help you. But folks, understand we need to deny ourselves for others. Content in pursuing worldly allurements and happiness rather than using this life to grow spiritually closer to Christ and to serve Him these few years, folks, on this earth. It's all temporary here. What you have when you park it out in that parking lot, what you have at your home, it's all temporary. You can't take it with you. Matthew 6, the greatest passage where Jesus commands us not to worry. He's telling us, look, the birds are there. They have nests and the you know, all the grass for all the animals, all that kind of stuff. He's talking about that in Matthew chapter 6, right? He said, they're not toiling. And here's what he finishes that up with. You know what this verse is, pastor's verse, right? Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek ye first. Is he talking about happiness there? But seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we do that, what happens? And all of these things will be added unto you. Pretty simple, isn't it? Folks, we run around in circles, man. We wear ourselves out trying to work hard to have great homes and nice cars and fancy clothes and all these kind of things. But the scripture is telling me that if you'll seek God first and you'll seek His kingdom and you'll seek His righteousness, He says, I'll give you all the things that you need. Why can't we believe that? Nowhere in Scripture are we told to pursue happiness, much less invest our entire lives in the vain attempt to find happiness. Happiness, folks, is in our God. Is it knowing our God? Is accepting His grace and His mercy? That's happiness. Telling somebody else about the love of Jesus Christ, how God has blessed your life, where God has brought you from. That's happiness. So nowhere in Scripture does it tell you to pursue happiness. But we are told in Scripture, quite often in fact, to diligently pursue something else, something much more enduring than happiness. Something, folks, that we may even perceive to be counterproductive in our happiness. We are told to pursue the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In 2020, Church of Pentecost, I want us to embrace God's instructions in 1 Peter 1:22, fervently love one another from the heart. We have to build on a strong body to march across the street, to march across this globe. I'm talking about the body of Christ, building a strong body. How? By loving one another with a pure heart, fervently, folks. If we do that, we will build a strong body and we'll be able to go anywhere, amen, and see God inviting the world to receive the great God that we love so much. Let's stand here. Listen, folks. You're not going to find happiness in pursuing the things of the world. It's all temporal. I wouldn't be afraid to say that there's several, maybe more than a handful, maybe more in this church that last year you dealt with depression. Come on, now, I'm not talking about a day you get up and you're a little depressed, you know, you're sick, you're not feeling good. By the end of the day, you're over it. Maybe an hour or two, you're over it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people in this church, right here tonight, dealt with depression. And I'm telling you, right where you can find the cause of it, selfishness. Worrying about what you want, what you need. Folks, it's out there. The statistics, they're out there. People in Hollywood, people in the music industry, wealthy people all over. So depressed. They have it all. They have everything. And they're looking for somebody on the street to sell them some drugs. Time and time again, you hear of celebrities that are killing themselves. They've been pursuing things in this world. And God is trying to tell us here tonight, saints of God, that if you will seek after me, if you will seek after my kingdom, if you will seek after my righteousness, I'll give you the things that you need. But see, sometimes we, or more than not, we want more than what we need. I want to see a great outpouring this year. If I can find some selfless Christians tonight, I believe we will see that vision come true. I want to know, is there anybody here tonight that wants to be selfless this year? Come on. Come up here to this altar and tell God, Lord, I'm going to be selfless this year. I'm going to seek after you. I'm going to seek after your kingdom. I'm going to seek after your righteousness. Come on, saints of God. You give life.